Today I want to talk to you from the subject of being more like Jesus. This lesson is all about making positive changes every day that cause us to change or transform into the image of Christ. Now, it is Veterans Day, and every veteran, whether past or present, if you served or you are serving, if it's one thing we remember, that is boot camp, right? You show up, and for me, I showed up on a bus, and you know, this guy got on just screaming and yelling, telling me to get on some yellow footprints that I had no idea of what he was talking about. And then we get in and they make you like just give everything up. They strip you of everything and only give you what they want you to have. They cut off everything from the outside world because their job is to transform you from a civilian into a member of the United States Armed Forces, and they're pretty good at it, right? Yeah, everybody say transformation. Now, from the biblical standpoint of view, transformation is also the heart of the Christian life. That God just doesn't want to save us from something, and he does save us from our sins, but he also wants to shape us into something, and what he wants to shape us into is the image of Christ, all right? See, salvation is just the starting point, but transformation is the ongoing journey, that little by little and day by day that God is making me and molding me into the person that he would have me to be. And so we're not really called to conform. You got it. We're not called to conform to culture, not called to conform to people's ideologies, but we are called to transform into the nature of who Jesus is. And so we have to understand the importance of that. You know, we have a church that we have so many men that come to our church, and I love that, and I love seeing men worship God. I love seeing men serve. I just everywhere you look, there's strong men all over the place. And one thing that I've said throughout the years to the men is that, you know, with us serving God and with us lifting our hands and with us doing everything that we do and modeling Christ and those kind of things, you know, it doesn't make us soft because we're strong men. But what it does is it makes our heart soft toward God. And in my heart being soft toward God, it makes me want to be like Jesus. It makes me want to love my wife. You got it? It makes me want to raise my children to the best of my ability. It makes me want to walk in integrity. It makes me want to do things because my heart is soft to Christ. Does that make sense? So how many simple points did I have today? You already know 3 points, and we're going to get to rolling because I'm not going to hold you a long time today. So everybody say point number one. Point number one, God's purpose is for us to reflect Christ. God's purpose is for us to reflect Christ. And now don't forget that the notes are in our app, our church app. And so you can follow along or just go and look at those later, all right? So God's purpose is for us to reflect Christ. Romans 8 and 29, the first part of that says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be," what's that next word, class? "Conform to the image of his son." And so he wanted us to conform. If we're going to conform to anything, conform to the image of Jesus and what Jesus is all about. So God's ultimate goal isn't really comfort, although he does want us to live a good life. But God's ultimate goal is Christ's likeness. And in me being Christ's likeness, watch this, I can win in every area of my life. Does that make sense? Yeah, and the Bible says he calls us to triumph in Christ. And so to the degree I do it God's way, I'll get God results. So God's will for our lives is that we become more like Jesus, that we become more like Jesus in our character, that we become more like Jesus in our attitude, that we become more like Jesus in our response. You know, I don't know about you in the room, but you know, I've been saved a long time now, and I think I'm better at my responses today than 20 years ago. Come on, somebody. Or but no matter how long you've been saved, if you've been saved 2 years, you're probably doing better now than you did 2 years ago, because little by little, God's working on all of us. See, that's why I don't understand how we got time to talk about other people, what's going on in their lives, and be gossiping when you got stuff going on in your own backyard. My whole thing is I'm going to go ahead and clean up my own backyard, but I'm not just going to mow it, I'm going to weed eat it. Come on, somebody. I'm not just going to weed eat it. You got it. I'm going to go down there and edge it. You understand? You got it. And even after I got it looking good, how many know in about a week that stuff grows back up? So what am I saying? I don't really have time to worry about what anybody else is going on. I'm working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I'm just glad he gave me another day with brand new mercies. I'm just glad he woke me up this morning and gave me another chance to get it right. That's a good place to clap in the house of the Lord. So God's ultimate goal isn't comfort, but it is Christ-likeness. But in being like Christ and doing things his way, we'll get his results so we can live a comfortable life, because God has no problem with us living a comfortable life. But because Jesus came that we might have, and that we might have it. Yeah, in the Amplified it says, to the full till it overflows. So yes, God wants me to live an amazing life, but it has to be in the scope of doing things his way. Because if I don't, I'll have pride. Come on, somebody. I'll act like I'm better than everybody because I got a little bit of money. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? But what happens is when we do it God's way, we begin to transform, into the image of him. And transformation is not behavior modification, but it's a change of the heart. All right? You know, in boot camp, initially, it was behavior modification. You're going to do what I say as quick as I say. Aye, sir. You know what I'm saying? No, I said aye, sir. You know, if you didn't feel like screaming, they told you, like, aye, sir. It don't matter. It's behavior modification. And if not, you're going to the quarter deck. You're going to the sand pit. Hello, somebody. You know, but that's behavior modification. Now, we need that for the military. You got it? But Jesus doesn't want us to act right because he sees us. Jesus wants us to act right because we love him. So it is not behavior modification. God is going to whack a mole if you do something wrong. It is, no, I stop and I begin to understand everything that Jesus has already done for me on Calvary and what he is continuing to do for me. So I live the life I live to please God. Watch this. Not because I'm scared he's going to hurt me, but because I love him. Does that make sense? And that's what it's all about. And so the more I spend time with him, the more I become like him. And the more I become like him, the better my life gets. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2 and 10 and the Amplified teaches us that we are his workmanship. We are his own masterwork. You are a work of art, all right? You have been created in Christ Jesus. You have been reborn from above. Everybody say spiritually transformed. Oh, that was okay, but let's try it again. Everybody say spiritually transformed. There you go. Renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set that we would walk in them, living the
good life.
That's in the word, right? Yeah, so living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So Jesus came to transform us spiritually to live for him. You got it. And in doing that, we'll all live an incredible life. All right. And you got to understand that most, you can spend 10 minutes with somebody and tell if they're really living for Jesus. Isn't that right? You sometimes you don't have to spend 10 minutes. You'd be with somebody 3 or 4 minutes. Say, okay, praise the Lord. You understand? You know, and so you've got to understand the importance of really wanting to live for Jesus. You understand? We live in this culture and in this society where it's real showy. You understand what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. You got, and I like nice stuff, so I'm not a hypocrite. You understand what I'm saying? I like nice stuff. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm not showy. I don't think my stuff makes me. You got it. One of my bishops in the Church of God in Christ years ago, he said it's okay to have to own stuff as long as stuff don't own you. You understand? And that's why you have to understand the difference. I don't drive my car down the road like hoping somebody see me, yeah, because I got it going on. You understand? You know, you really wasting your money. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. You buy stuff because you like it. It's what you like. You understand? But we live in this culture, though, that if we're not careful, it's showy to the degree that watch this, I get stuff in an effort to be accepted by those who really don't like me, don't care about me, don't pay any of my bills, don't help me, but just because everybody's got that particular Nike, I get that Nike, and now when I go, buzz, oh, that thing is nice right there, and that's good, and that's fine, but it doesn't help transform into the image of Christ. Does that make sense? So nothing wrong with stuff as long as you own the stuff and the stuff don't own you. Can I get a? Does that make? That's a good place to clap. Yeah. See, because you have to have a balance. You have to have a balance. And so just be careful that you, because here's the problem. Because your validation shouldn't come through stuff. Your acceptance shouldn't come through stuff. I love you. Half of you, I don't know what you drive. I don't care what you wear. I'm just glad to see you here. Come on, somebody. I'm just glad that we are family. You understand? And my only goal with you is to teach you the word of God and you apply in your life so your life gets better and better and better. All right? Now, I'm just telling you, if you live God's way, he going to bless you. Yeah. And he going to bless you real good. Yeah. And you can't be, you see, so here, because that's the balance in it, right? And when God blesses you, you get a new car. You've always, let's just use a Honda Accord. I've always liked Honda Accords. Lady really likes them. And let's just use a Honda Accord. You finally got you a brand new shiny Honda Accord, right? Now, you've worked the principle. You don't think you're better than anybody, but you are just thankful that God has finally blessed you with the car. You know, that's your dream car, right? And then all of a sudden, you're on your way to work Monday morning. And this ain't God. The devil said, well, you better park around the back. You understand? Now, you always park up front. Come on, somebody. Even when you drove a hoopty, you parked up front. Now God has blessed you, and it's the enemy that doesn't want to allow everyone to see the blessings of God in your life. So he tells you, go park around the, court, and because, well, you know, people going to talk. No, people going to talk anyways. They're going to talk if you drive a hoopty or a Mercedes. So just let them talk. But if you do things God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. So when God does bless you, watch this, don't get caught up in pride, but my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, that this is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in my eyes. Does that make sense? All right. Okay. So God's purpose is for us to reflect Christ. So even when someone says, man, that thing is amazing, that is an opportunity for me to tell them about Jesus. Because the first thing I'm going to say is, man, God is good. Yeah, that's a door that I'm hoping that's going to crack open. You understand? That God is good. Because if I can just get that in, you got it? You're going to say something later, and I'm going to tell you something later. And I'm going to work that thing out until the point where the Holy Spirit is going to open a door for me to be able to tell you about Jesus, to invite you to my church. And your greatest testimony is what God has done in your life. Because sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I don't know scripture like you. You don't need to. You know what God has done in your life. And everybody in the room, God has done some amazing things in our life. He's brought us from a mighty long way. We was in some bad situations. He got us out. Some of the situation was our fault, and he even got us out. So we've got a testimony to share with others of the goodness of God. Can I get up? Yeah. And so make sure that, you know, that we have a balance, that I'm not doing things to be prideful or to be showy. You got it? You know, I've never been interested in being cool. No, I'm just not interested in being cool. You understand? Because being cool can, you know, cause you to lose all your money. Yeah, because, you know, you start spending money and an effort, you got it, to let somebody be like, wow. That wow lasted 3 seconds. Now that $800 you spent is gone. You got it. You know you was on your way to Outback, and right now you got Outback budget, right? But right around the corner, everybody was lined up at the Ruth Chris. You understand? You're like, you know, we're going to go too. You got it? You know, and the wife's like, babe, can we afford it? We'll be all right. Okay. But what I would do is, come on, somebody. What I'm going to do is I'm looking at that line saying, I'm going to keep going to Outback, but it's going to be greater later. I see a day when I'm going to stand in line when everybody else stand in line. But for right now, this is what I'm going to do. Come on, somebody. Lady LeConte, I'm not teaching you something that I have not lived. Lady LeConte and I, in the early days, we were on a strict, tight budget. You understand? And we couldn't even go to Outback. And so we went to Church's Chicken, because Church's Chicken had that two-piece special for $1.99 with that honey biscuit, and that honey biscuit was the will of God. You got it? And the churches we went to wasn't even a real Church's Chicken restaurant. It was in a gas station on the corner of Gum Branch Road. You got it, huh? Bell Fork and Gum Branch. And so what happened, it's a gas station, y'all. And when you go in, they ain't got but two booths. So if you go in, you got it, you know, and you'll see that the booths are full, you got to say, okay, well, we just go sit in the car till somebody get up. And when somebody got up, you know, then we hurry up and go in and order and sit down. And so that's what our date night looked like, because my whole thing was I wasn't trying to prove anything. I wasn't trying to be better than anybody. I understand he that is faithful with little, come on, somebody, will be faithful with much. That if you can handle this, God can bless you with that. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so anyways, so you know, everybody say, don't be cool.
Don't be cool.
Be Christ-like.
Be Christ-like.
All right, number two, everybody say number two. Transformation begins with a renewed mind. Transformation begins with a renewed mind. Romans 12 and 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye
transformed.
How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we're not called to conform, but we're called to transform. Because see, conformity happens from the outside in. Transformation happens from the inside out. You understand? When I was a little boy, you know, coming up, we used to sing these songs, you know, look what the Lord has done. You know, I don't know if y'all heard that. So he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. And then they would throw things in. You got, now that song was great, but then they would throw things in that, you know, was fun, but might not be so biblically tight. I looked at my feet were new. Looked at my hands were too. You got, and I understand what they're saying, but what happens is there's somebody would come in off the street, they get saved, and they would try to clean them up real good. Go get them a suit. You understand? Nothing wrong with all that. You got it. But if they come back next Sunday, I remember this happening, and then after church, he went around to the back and smoked a cigarette, right? And then now the people that was celebrating him getting saved last week called him a demon this week because he ain't got none. He ain't really gave his life to Jesus. No, real transformation happens from the inside out, and it's not always an overnight thing, but it's an overtime thing. Everything about God is a process. I understand you wish I would be perfect overnight, but I'm just working out my soul's salvation with fear and trembling. You actually don't know what I've been through. You actually don't know what I've got going on in my life, and I think I'm doing pretty good. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm on my way to better. I'm on my way to brighter because God is changing me from the inside out. Oh, that's good right there. And so conformity happens from the outside in. You got to put the suit on. He looks like everybody. But transformation is from the inside. Oh, this is a good lesson right here. See, transformation requires putting off the old, all right, and putting on the new. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10 says, so put to death. Do y'all understand what the word means, put to death? Yeah. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, all right? Impurity, lust, all right? And evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Now, let's kind of, because I'm a teacher, let's kind of break some things down. So he says, I've got to put to death sinful earthly things that lurk within me, because sometimes the enemy will even put thoughts in your mind. You ought to do this. He'll give you I know you might not want to, admit this, but at some point in your life, a thought has come. You're like, oh, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Where'd that thought come from? It ain't nothing you thought about. It's not anything you want to do. That's just the enemy. You understand? You got it. But you can't let those things lurk on the inside. Or maybe you were doing something and you changed your mind, you know, and said, I'm not going to do it. Then you got to put that entire thing to death. Watch this. Because if you don't, that sexual immorality, sexual impurity, you know, that lust, you know, evil desires, you know, how can I say this? You know, just say it, right? Yeah. See, that's why, you know, when it comes to lust, that's why the enemy works overtime with pornography. Yeah. All right? Because anytime you look, you stir up desire. Now, I don't care. You got, now that's across the board. If I start looking at a nice truck, you understand? I've been looking at them 2500 GMC Sierra HDs, the Denali Ultimate, you understand? Yeah, and I was like, no, I'm fine right now because, you know, that's my thing. I like cars, right? You got it? And so what happened is, you know, lady was like, oh, you ought to get one. I said, no. She'll send me a picture. I said, don't send me a picture because when you look, you stir up desire. You got it? So that works in every arena, but when it comes into the area of pornography, and let me just help you, it's not just men dealing with pornography, women deal with it too. And I'm not knocking anybody, because I'm saying the devil is a lie, and God has already given you the power to overcome the spirit of lust. I declare in the name of Jesus that the spirit of lust is broken off your life. And so what happens is the reason why the enemy will trigger you to go look or trigger you to go look again is because he knows if you look, it'll stir up desire. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so what happens is the Bible says you have to put that thing to death. So you've got to put safeguards in place. What do I do to make sure that doesn't happen again? Do I need some accountability people in my life? You understand? I need some things in my life. Like, we got like this fancy internet where you come to my house and try to get on some stuff you ain't supposed to at our house. It's going to block it anyways, right? You got it. But it ain't just for you. It's for me. It's for Jay. It's for Hannah. It's for Lady, because watch this. It just pushes all of that stuff out anyways. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so don't be so careful. I've been saved a long time. No, don't trust yourself that far. Amen. Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you. I'm going somewhere with this today. He said, but I've already prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And he told him, when you are converted, because Jesus knew he was going to be all right. And let me tell you, you might be going through something, but I already know you're going to be all right, because you are already healed, you are already delivered, you are already set free in the name of Jesus. Okay, I got a lot to talk about. Hold on. Oh, I got 56 seconds. Can I get 5 more minutes? Okay, all right. I ain't even going to do the 5, 10, 15, because we got to go. All right, so that's the sexual stuff. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. And I don't want to hear, because he drive a nice car, he greedy. You don't know what you're talking about. Right. You got it. The natural man receives not the things of the spiritual, because they are spiritually discerned, right? So let me help you. How do you tell if someone is greedy, all right? The way you tell if someone is greedy is if they're not a giver. Right. It has nothing to do with what they have. You got it? Because most people that I know that are blessed, that got stuff, they're givers, which shows that they're not greedy, which shows that's probably why they have what they have, because they are givers. Does that make sense? All right. So let's not even go down that route, all right? Because I'm just telling you, you come to this church, you're going to be blessed, because that's in the Word of God, and that's God's plan for your life. Verse 6, sometimes the biggest thing is not God blessing you, it's God dealing with you about being blessed, because you don't know how to handle the response once he starts blessing you. And so now it's a mind thing that you're playing. It's like, I want that, but I didn't come from that, and now how are people going to look at me if I roll up in this? You understand what I'm saying? So now you want to park 2 blocks down the road, you understand? Got an Uber. Verse 6, because of these sins, no, we going home court. I'll be here all day. I'll be here all day. I everybody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would take you to verse 6. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming, but it's not coming because you're getting rid of those things. He said, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. All right, I told you, won't put to be cussing. Verse 9, don't lie to each other. So, well, I don't commit adultery. Like, yeah, but you lie. Okay, all right, just look at this. See, that's why nobody has any right to be in anybody else's mess. You got your own mess. Everybody got their own mess to work out. For you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds, he says, and put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn how your creator, watch this, as you learn to know your creator and do what? Become like him. So the Christian life involves continual change. Putting off the old attitudes, the old habits, and putting on the nature of Christ. But growth is a process. God isn't looking for perfection. He's just looking for progression. The more you know him, the more you become like him. So transformation, you got to catch this, is both instant and ongoing. What do you mean by that? Transformation is both instant salvation and ongoing sanctification. So that's why a lot of people, we don't talk about that word sanctified anymore. We don't talk about sanctification anymore. But sanctification is that ongoing process, you got it, of God doing a work on the inside. You got it? To get rid, because when we come to Christ, we bring a lot of baggage. But he gets rid of, if you lie, that lying demon. You're not a demon, okay? You know, that lust spirit, that prideful spirit. And the more I come to church and the more I spend time with God, the more I get on the prayer call, the more I read my Bible, the more I get in his presence, then things begin to change. Number three, transformation is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so he begins to lead me and guide me and help me. And so if I was you, I would prioritize the presence of God. Worship, prayer, and the word. And if you will prioritize those in your life above everything else, you will begin to keep changing into the image of who God has called you to be. See, what the world can't change through pressure, God changed through presence. And that's why we need to come together corporately so we can be in his presence. I want you to repeat with me. Say, Father, thank you for transforming me into the image of Christ. I refuse to be conformed to this world. I renew my mind with your word and yield to your spirit. Say, day by day, I am changing more and more into the likeness of Christ. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every person under the sound of my voice. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to come against them and attack them. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I curse every satanic assignment from the enemy that tries to come against the people of God, the children of God. I curse every lust spirit. I curse every lying spirit. I curse every prideful spirit. I curse everything that is not like God that would try to come against the people of God. You said in your word that sin cannot dominate us, for we are not under the law, but we're under grace. And being under grace, it gives us the power to rise above everything that's not like God and make godly decisions. And so, Father, I thank you for your power at work in their lives, that they no longer have to look at that website. They no longer have to lie. They no longer have to act a certain way, because your power is releasing them from that stronghold in the name of Jesus. And so I thank you for what you're doing. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're in this room and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're in this room and you're a Christian and you just need to repent, I want you to pray this prayer. As a matter of fact, I want everybody to pray this prayer. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building. Are you glad you came to church at 10 o'clock in the morning?